The death of Oslo. So last night we were all witness to the speeches made by Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu. It was obviously a very emotional event, and I think it could also be defined as a very historic event, and I think that it also can be labeled as a very confusing event. It's historic because for the first time, the legitimacy of the Jewish people in Judea and Samaria has finally been recognized. And as I've said in the past, we don't need anybody's stamp of approval. We know it belongs to us. But the time has finally arrived when the United States of America also realizes that we have a place here. Maybe they don't recognize all of the land, but they recognize a good part of it. And that's a very good beginning. It was very emotional because both of the leaders understood that what was happening has never happened in the past. And if it didn't happen now, I don't know when it might happen in the future. It's a big lift for Netanyahu before the elections. And I think it's also a big lift for Trump, because probably the most important population in the United States that gave him a victory 3 years ago were the evangelical Christians. And last night, Pastor John Hagee was at the event, and it's obvious that they are very much in favor of the recognition of the Jewish communities in Judea and Samaria. Netanyahu very specifically, very notedly, mentioned Hebron and Maarat Machpelah. He mentioned Shiloh. He mentioned Bet El. It's nice to hear a prime minister of Israel reciting the names of these biblical cities, which today are again populated by Jews, especially because we've heard many other, particularly Christian leaders, who have spoken about these places. And it's always the Israelis that tend to leave them out. So I think it's significant that Netanyahu did mention them. And I think that it also shows that he has no intentions of leaving any of these areas, as he also said quite specifically. However, it was also a very confusing event. It's left people scratching their heads. On the one hand, there's a recognition of 30% of Judea and Samaria as belonging to the Jewish people, recognition of Israel as a Jewish state, a recognition that terror cannot continue. But Trump's plan and his speech last night also definitively mentioned a Palestinian state and the so-called Palestinian rule over most of the rest of Judea and Samaria. If we have 30%, then that means they've got 70%. And a lot of people really don't know where to go with all of this, because on the one hand, as Amit Segal, the very astute commentator, right-wing religious Israeli commentator, and you don't have too many of them around with all of those particular criteria, he said this is the first time where Israel has received something and is giving back words, whereas usually we get the words and they got the land. This time it was reversed. And of course, that's very, very important. But how do we deal with the possibility of a Palestinian state, and how do we deal with the possibility of losing 70% of land, which we really do understand and believe belongs to us. In any kind of a deal, there's always some kind of give and take. There's some kind of compromise. It's a very, very kind of a bitter bullet to try to bite into. My personal feelings are that it will never happen. We can go back any number of times. Perhaps the most well-known refusal of the Arab world to recognize a Jewish entity back when the United Nations decided on a partition plan on November 29th, 1947. The Israeli leadership at the time, led by David Ben-Gurion, did not like the partition plan because it didn't leave us a whole lot of land for a state, but he accepted it. The Arabs, on the other hand, rejected it and declared war. And this is what has happened continuously and continually since then, particularly with the offers made by Ehud Barak and later Ehud Olmert for tremendous amounts of land, more than 70%. Arafat and later Abu Mazen were offered over 90% of Judea and Samaria, with, of course, Jews being expelled from their homes in many of the Jewish communities, such as here in Hebron and others, and they refused to accept it. The conditions laid down by the Trump plan for the recognition of a Palestinian state include the disarming of Gaza and Hamas, which is something that is not going to happen, not tomorrow, not next year, and not 4 years from now. If there are elections in the Palestinian Authority here in Judea and Samaria, then there's a very good chance that Hamas could win those elections the same way they did down in Gaza. The Trump plan also calls for the complete stoppage of monies being supplied to the families of terrorists who have killed Jews. Palestinian Authority has numerous times said that they will never do that. Abu Mazen has made that one of his standout points, that they will continue to pay the families of terrorists, and anybody, any Arab who commits a terrorist attack knows that his family is going to be quite well off, and if he lives through it, he also, for the time that he spends in an Israeli jail, will be paid large amounts of money, much more than any of them could ever make working. So it makes it worth their while to try to kill Jews. One of the other points that was mentioned is they have to recognize Israel as a Jewish state. This, too, they refuse to do. And there are other points also. If these conditions are not met, then a Palestinian state will never, ever come into being. And the chances of Abu Mazen accepting these conditions are less than none. And any of his possible successors will also refuse to accept these conditions, if for no other reason, because any Arab leader in Judea and Samaria who accepted those conditions would find himself dead very, very shortly, very quickly. He would, without any doubt, be killed because of the Arab-Muslim extremism that we have to live with here every day continues to be very, very dominant in this area, and I do not see any possibility whatsoever for a Palestinian state to be formed or for any of the land that is called to be transferred to them in the Trump plan to ever happen. The plan itself is considered to, Trump has laid down 4 years for it to be implemented, and my guess is that after 4 years, if it's not implemented, in other words, if the Arabs don't accept the conditions that have been laid out, and there is no real negotiations between Israel and the Palestinian Authority, then we'll be able to do anything we want to do. And for the time being, we're going to declare sovereignty on all of the communities, the Jewish communities throughout Judea and Samaria. That's no small feat. However, I think probably the most important element, which hasn't been mentioned too much, there are a few people that have spoken of it, but not enough. And that is that this plan, as proposed by the United States, is quite literally the death of Oslo. Oslo was one of the most dangerous, damaging programs ever to come into the history of the world. It did tremendous damage to the state of Israel. It brought about the murders of over 2,000 Jews, and has created innumerable problems and issues that we've had to deal with since the signing of the Oslo Accords and their implementation starting back in 1993. And finally, after all of these years, this program, this plan, this so-called peace plan has finally been dead and buried. It no longer exists. Anybody that thought that Oslo might be able to be brought back to life, at this point, the greatest superpower in the world has declared Oslo to be dead. And that is very, very, very important. We will never, ever, ever be able to go back to any kind of a plan which calls for basically the destruction of the state of Israel. Something that that Rabin accepted, Shimon Peres pushed, and unfortunately they started to implement it, and the terror that it brought is something that no Israeli who lived through it will ever forget. And my hope is that the history books that come out over the coming decades will recall the massive catastrophe of what is called Oslo. It should be remembered as a curse on Israel, a curse on the Jewish people, a curse on the Torah of Israel, and it's something that will never, ever be repeated. So, despite the confusion, despite the lack of understanding exactly what we should do and we shouldn't do, the first and foremost idea is that Oslo is dead. And for that, I think we have to thank Donald Trump, and we will have to remember him as being a person who killed Oslo. Donald Trump, thank you.